The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the player cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This is part two of our look at the Survivor cards. We're going to take a look at Bangle of Jinxes, Burn After Reading, Strength in Numbers, and Dauntless Spirit. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Autofail, and the cards in between get a +1/+0 or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the optional list of taboos or that are just bad for the game get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Special thanks to Cole Monroe Chitty for the tremendous art that graces the channel, Nicole Fiscus for the new Whisper in Darkness logo, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for the intro as well as the overlays. Thank you very much. I couldn't do it without you. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with part two of our look at the Survivor cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. We are going to kick things off with Bangle of Jinxes. It's a two-cost asset that costs one experience point. It has a willpower skill icon, the item, charm, and cursed traits. It enters play with one charge. As a free triggered ability, you may spend a charge. You get +2 skill value for this skill test, limit once per test. And as a reaction, after an enemy attacks you, you may place a charge on the Bangle of Jinxes. It takes up an accessory slot. What do we think about this one?
This is clearly designed towards Daniela. That feels pretty obvious. I guess it's fine. I don't have a lot of experience with Daniela, so I don't know how important that accessory slot is to her. But I mean, it's kind of like a rechargeable Unexpected Courage in a way. Which is kind of nice. It is kind of very specific in that, you know, a lot of investigators aren't trying to take attacks. And, you know, that can be kind of a struggle to get going consistently because you need to be fairly tanky. But, you know, if you're able to reliably put charges on this thing, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I think the weakest part of this card is that it takes up the same slot as Cherished Keepsake and Lucky Rabbit's Foot. Not that those two are just complete standouts, you know, you have to take them in every Survivor deck cards, but yeah, this thing, so it costs two. It's not bad. I think if you expect to get yourself attacked twice, then this is giving you three charges. Yeah, that's not bad. Yeah, a rechargeable Unexpected Courage. This makes actually a good comparison to Jury Rig, where Jury Rig gives you three plus twos, but for a very specific use. This gives you +2, the ability to get more plus twos, but they can be for any use. It is a limit once per test. Okay, so you can't like dump charges onto something important.
Yeah, it seems intended to be kind of more of like a steady drip than like a burst.
Yeah. How often do you get attacked? I guess it depends on your investigator and what you're building.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It feels very specifically designed for Daniela.
Yeah.
With it does. Like, both costing one experience and it having that clause of enemy attacks. I mean, it is nice, I guess, because you can have enemies like attack you with attacks of opportunity and then put charges on it. So maybe you like play an item, have the enemy attack you, you put a charge on this, and now all of a sudden you're getting an additional +2 to that fight check or that evade check or something.
Yeah,
sure. But yeah. It really depends on how often you plan on getting attacked.
Here's a pretty narrow use for. There's a pretty narrow use for it that I think might not actually be too bad. Is it's such a pain in the butt to have to provoke an attack of opportunity to reload your bow, your ornate bow. It's kind of nice, you know. It takes the sting out of getting attacked, you know, because you're reloading.
This is one of the cards that I've been looking at for my Daniela deck, and I think the nice thing, one of the nice things about Daniela is that her ability is unlimited, so it really does encourage you to be attacked a lot. And if you were able to get this down, especially in multiplayer, not so much in solo, but definitely in multiplayer, where she could be taking multiple attacks per round, the number of charges on this thing is going to mount considerably. And like you said, unlike Jury Rig, which is very limited in what you can use that skill bonus for, this can be used on anything. So for somebody like Daniela, this boosts up her willpower during those willpower skill tests, gets her over the hump of a lot of the willpower treacheries. She doesn't have great agility, so this can help in those agility treacheries. If she's fighting a boss and needs a little, she's already got 5 combat, but going up to 7 isn't bad against really big, tough enemies with retaliate and stuff like that. I think the biggest issue for me with this card is that accessory slot, because the Daniela build I'm playing, she has Hallowed Mirror to choose from, which is very good. There's Cherished Keepsake, of course, Lucky Rabbit's Foot, and as well Grizzly Totem. So there's a bunch of pretty good accessories available to survivors, and especially somebody like Daniela. So you have to think about what you're giving up in order to put this in your deck. And I think the toughest one is Hallowed Mirror because of the healing that it provides. If you're being attacked a lot, you're going to need some way to protect yourself, and Soothing Melody is pretty nice in that respect. I may look at this and pick up Relic Hunter just so I can play both. How would we rate this one?
I think outside of Daniela, I just don't really see an investigator taking a lot of advantage of this. I'm trying to think, because like Yorick probably wants Cherish Keepsake because he can recur that over and over again, and you know, he's killing enemies, not really getting attacked by them. Kind of the same deal with Tommy. It doesn't have health or sanity, so he's not getting resources out of it. Yeah, I find it just hard outside of Daniela to even find a deck I would play this in. So
but
I think,
couldn't Tommy say play this with his allies, and then he wouldn't mind being attacked because then he can sack his allies in order to get the resources, and then you're getting a +2 skill value on top of that?
I guess. Yeah. But I think sort of on the same line, though, is that Tommy ends up just kind of killing enemies before that really happens, and that's kind of the issue. It's just, okay. I feel like as players, we're sort of been psychologically bred to just kill enemies on sight.
Yeah, it's true.
So how would you rate it, Nate?
I'm going to give it an Elder Thing. I think outside of Daniela, it's going to be pretty hard to justify, I feel, a lot of the time.
Yeah, I think in a general case, I think you can find more useful accessories that work all the time, as opposed to this, which seems to work only some of the time. That being said, if you're playing a deck that wants to run Peter Sylvester and Jessica Hyde, you can already take a large number of attacks over the course of the game, and at least this will take the sting out of being attacked. You know, because like you might take an attack of opportunity, or you know, get attacked by something you didn't evade. You let Peter and Jessica soak it, and then you get that skill boost for later. So you're kind of like ahead in that regard. So yeah, I think in most cases it's probably another thing, but if you're given that you're soaking a lot of damage over the course of a game anyway, then this is probably not bad.
I'm going to give this one a Bless Token because I think if you're playing a card like this, you're probably going to be building around it to a certain extent, especially in somebody like Daniela, or if you're building a tanky Yorick who wants to take a couple of attacks to get the +2 skill value, so maybe he has a better chance of passing some willpower skill tests. Maybe Tommy likes this, but I think it's pretty specific, and it's not something you're just going to drop in your deck on a whim. You're either playing this in Daniela, or you're building another investigator around this card so that you can take the attacks to generate the charges to get the +2 skill value on later tests.
Calvin was another investigator that came to mind because he kind of likes taking attacks as well, but Lucky Rabbit's Foot is really good in him. So it's like, it's pretty tough, you know, and he needs that card draw to get his engine online. So it's like, it's really tough to justify.
Yeah, this may be one of those cards that really calls out Relic Hunter, and it might be why it is only 1 XP, because the designers recognize that this one is going to have a tough time competing with some of the other accessories. And while it's very, I think it's good in the decks that want it, it's harder to justify. So if you keep the XP cost on this thing low and then you pick up Relic Hunter at 3 XP. It's not too bad, I guess. I'll have to play a little bit more with this and see. I think I mean, Daniela likes being attacked and has cards like Toe-to-Toe that basically, if you've got this on the table and Toe-to-Toe, you're not only killing a 4 health enemy, but you're getting a charge out of it as well, which is pretty good value. Whether other investigators want it, I think that remains to be seen. The next card in the box is Burn After Reading. It is a one-cost event that costs 1 experience point. It has a wild skill icon and the insight trait. Exile a level 0 to 5 card in your hand. Discover 2 clues at your location. If the exiled card was level 2 or higher, remove 1 doom from the current agenda. Exile Burn After Reading. And this card was designed by the Council in Exile at Gen Con 2020. I'm actually very tempted to pick this up in my Daniela build simply because the idea of exiling this as well as a level 0 card, which I'm going to get back anyway, to discover 2 clues without taking a skill test, especially in poor Daniela who has only 1 intellect, is very attractive to me. As a solo player, removing a doom from the current agenda is less appealing. I've rarely found that the doom threshold on agendas is much of a factor, so I don't think I'd be willing to exile a higher level card for that effect, but I guess if you're playing in multiplayer and you want to do both, that could be helpful. And it is worth mentioning that if you do pick up the permanent Deja Vu, you could repurchase Burn After Reading for free, and then you get that level 2 card back for 1 XP. But the problem is that is, I believe, 5 XP. So you'd really need to be leaning into this heavily to justify it. What do you guys think?
I think this card is okay. Like you said, Man from Light, I don't know how often you're going to be using that removal of Doom. Though I could see it maybe in like scenario 7, scenario 8, where you just kind of have a bank of experience and, you know, maybe you're just trying to hold off that agenda advance for one more turn so you can do something. Mm-hmm. In situations like that, it can be kind of nice, but yeah, I think most of the time you're just going to exile a level 0 card, grab a couple of clues and go about your day, and if that's what this card is doing for you, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd actually look at the remove a doom pit. Remove a doom part, that's kind of like a red herring. I think what this card really does is you imagine if it said pay 1, discard a card from your hand, discover 2 clues. It's not bad. It's kind of plain, but that's not a bad effect. Like, it's good value there. Auto clue discovery is pretty nice, especially when you get 2 instead of 1. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And especially in higher difficulties where you do not want to be pulling out of the bag. So,
yeah. If you just thought of it like you're discarding the card, you know, like discarding a lot, and you know, because you're probably gonna just exile level 0 and you're gonna get it back for free. And yeah, this seems fine.
Yeah, I like this in Daniela just because, I mean, with her 1 intellect, she really discovering clues the traditional way is really not an option for her. So. Between this and, say, Scene of the Crime and Evidence, you've got the workings of a decent way of discovering clues if you're playing in solo. I think if you're playing in multiplayer, Daniela wouldn't bother with this. She's going to be busy killing enemies and stuff like that, but I can definitely see the value of this in solo. Yep. Yeah, the Doom, I can think of a couple scenarios where having the ability to remove Doom is important. The one that always stands out to me, at least, is the secret name, especially in solo, because it is so important that I think you need to really have that scenario beaten before Agenda 4, I think, because otherwise Nahap just has too much doom on her to reasonably deal with, and you just end up dying. Maybe something like before the Black Throne, just to keep Azathoth in check a little bit, give yourself another turn to go find the various locations that you need to find in that scenario. If you were to able to play this twice, that's twice in a game. That might not be bad, especially if the if the campaign is on the line. Maybe this is better in later scenarios in campaigns where you're going all out for the win. So having a turn or two extra is nice. And you're not going to use those cards anyway, probably. So better to remove the doom than end the game prematurely and have that level two card sitting in your hand and being like, well, I could have exiled this to remove a doom. So how would we rate this one?
I'm going to give it a 0. I'm pretty indifferent to it. It's fine, but I feel like most of the time when I'm building decks that look what I found and whatever else I'm playing for Investigate ends up being enough. And a card like this doesn't really appeal to me because I don't pretty much like the idea of kind of taxing my experience unless I'm not really doing anything else with it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the removing of a doom I feel like doesn't come up often enough in the games that I play where it matters, so I think a 0 is a suitable rating for this card.
Yeah, I'd actually agree. On the doom part, there's another card that does a similar thing, Fortune or Fate, where you spend 2 and you just remove a doom from the agenda. I think it's more like prevent a doom from being added, so effectively the same thing.
Yeah,
but you don't exactly see that in every single Survivor deck on Arkham DB or anything like that. So it just seems to me that most Arkham games are won or lost before the doom clock really matters. Yeah, so like I said, I think the remove a doom bit is kind of that's the red herring. Just look at this as like a proactive look what I found. And there are probably some decks that could make that work, you know, where you're not failing to win all the time and you know, it just works. So, you know, it works in like Daniela. I wouldn't run this over like Scene of the Crime though. You know, it seems like a cherry on top clue discovery tool. You know, nothing like to really build your deck around or anything like that. So yeah, I'd give it a 0 just for the clue discovery alone.
Yeah, I have trouble giving this one much more than a 0, I think, just because, again, the doom rarely matters in most circumstances. There are games that come down to the final turn, but those seem to be few and far between and difficult to prepare for. And if the game is coming down to the final doom, there's usually something else has happened that's far worse than the doom clock. You've either been swarmed by enemies or you're having trouble discovering clues or something bad has happened and you're playing from behind. And I don't necessarily know if one doom is going to make the difference a lot of the time, but I do like the ability to discover 2 clues without taking a check. I found in Daniela that besides the 2 intellect skill icons, Look What I Found doesn't do quite enough for her because she's just got such a low intellect that you need to use it at very... Like, Look What I Found is already somewhat tricky to use because you're trying to fail by a certain amount, and in Daniela it's even harder because there are so few locations where she can play it easily. So I like this as a tool in her, at least, and perhaps there are other investigators who like this. And of course, if you're going all in on the whole exile shtick, then you can pick up something like Deja Vu and get that get this card back and that level 2 card for a pretty reasonable XP cost. So it's not too bad. The next card is Strength in Numbers. It is a skill that costs 1 experience point. It has 1 wild skill icon, the innate and synergy traits. Strength in Numbers gains a wild skill icon for each differing class among cards you control. At worst, it's another copy of Unexpected Courage, which was already pretty good. If you're playing an investigator that has an off class, this has 3 wild skill icons. You can max it out at 6 if you somehow go all in on synergy. 6 seems overkill, but I mean, 2 to 3 wild skill icons is not bad for 1 XP.
Yeah, I think if you're able to get reliably 3 out of this, it's worth it. I think at 2, just play Unexpected Courage. But yeah, 3 and up, if you're able to reliably get that, this card is going to do some solid work for you.
Yeah, I feel the same way. If your deck is such that, you know, like you have an off-class permanent, like forced learning or something, that lets you start the game off with this always providing at least three wild icons, then I think this is great. So like if you start the game with it always providing three, and then your deck lets it ramp up to four or five, then like I think that's the sweet spot for this card. This is actually like pretty good. That being said, if your deck is if what's it if Last Chance is more appropriate for your deck, use that instead. Like if you're say Ashcan Pete and you run with a very slim hand all the time, I wouldn't play this over like Last Chance or some of the other survivor cards that are like more specialized but provide a ton of wild icons. But in like in a general sense, I think this thing is actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's a very straightforward card. When you build your deck, you know how much this is going to do. And of course, if you've got the permanents out, this is already gonna be have enough wild skill icons right off the bat. How would you rate this one?
I'm gonna give this one a plus one. I think it's pretty solid. An investigator that comes to mind is Min. Min can take forced learning and short supply, and then she could play scavenging, and then this card is really pretty good.
Yeah, I'd also give it a plus one as well. It's not like Elder Sign territory. I mean, if it was like super easy to get it up to like four or five, then like that'd be like an Elder Sign. But I think just the fact that it's not hard to set up your deck such that this thing is always giving you three wild icons, I think makes this plus one territory.
Yeah, as we've seen with some of the synergy cards, Gang Up comes to mind, where you actually have to put some work into it, or pick up one of those triple class talents that we'll look at in the multi-class card review. They're a little bit harder to get online. This one is pretty simple from the word go. If you're playing a permanent, this is already going to be good, and then it just gets better from there. So, in most decks, it's never worse than an unexpected courage, and I'd probably play four unexpected courage in a deck if I could. So I wouldn't be, if I had an experience kicking around, that's not bad. And I think one thing we should probably mention is that with the release of a card like Into the Thick of It that gives you three experience points right off the hop when you're building a deck, a lot of these one experience point cards make nice additions to decks because they're so cheap. You can add a full play set right off the bat and go with them. So
Yeah.
that's something to keep in mind as well.
Another card that combos great with this is Grizzly Totem. This Grizzly Totem has two classes on it. That's going to reliably trigger this, and then Grizzly Totem gives it another icon.
That's
Boom. You're
true.
welcome. Min gives it up to five reliably with that one card alone.
I was thinking actually the Covenants from the Innsmouth Conspiracy. If you have an investigator and then you take the off class Covenant. Okay, so like perfect example, let's say Min again, and you take the Survivor Covenant. That's a pretty easy way to give yourself up to getting this thing three wild icons at the start. And the Covenants also have to do with skill tests, by either negating the effect of curses or boosting the effect of blesses. So this strength in numbers will fit very well in there if you're willing to take a Covenant.
I would give this a plus one as well. It's pretty nice. It just gives you piles of wild skill icons, and wild skill icons are the best in the game. So very versatile, depending on what you need it for. This is going to be very nice for you, and especially if you're playing somebody like Min, who gets all sorts of tricks to add an extra wild skill icon and play cards like Grizzly Totem that can add even more. The next card that we are going to look at is Dauntless Spirit. It is a skill that has that costs one experience point. It has the innate and develop traits. While Dauntless Spirit is in your hand or committed to a skill test, it gains willpower icons equal to your combat, and combat icons equal to your willpower. We've been a lot of these skills in this box have been very, very good. I was looking at this one in relation to an Agnes Baker deck. This one gives her doesn't give her many willpower skill icons, only two, but it gives her five combat skill icons. So if you're building an Agnes Baker deck with something like a Meat Cleaver, man, five combat skill icons, you're not going to miss that often with that. For most survivors, this is going to be anywhere from 1 to 4 willpower skill icons and 2 to 4 combat skill icons. Obviously, Calvin has the potential to add the most. If he can get, he can easily get this thing up to 4 and 4 if he's taken enough trauma. York is also pretty good with this card because he adds 3 and 4 respectively. And obviously, these skills work pretty well on hard and expert difficulty where you you need piles of icons to pass skill tests. What do you guys think?
Yeah, another investigator that can use this card is Ashcan Pete. He can, like, fight with Duke, and then he's got a pretty good willpower, so he's going to be, I think it's 4, right? So he's going to be, so he's going to be putting 4 fight into this, and then a couple willpower icons. Sure, that's fine. Yeah, I think, especially in Survivor that has recursion, this card gets a lot more stock because you're able to use it over and over again. And, you know, I think for that alone, this is a little more appealing for the investigators that can take it.
I really like this thing because it adds willpower icons based on a stat that you want to have a lot of. And willpower is kind of like the really important defensive stat. Meanwhile, combat is a stat that you want to, like, boost up as much as you can. But, you know, if you're making a lot of attacks. So this thing can get up to being like 4 willpower icons or even 5, because remember, it adds your stat bonuses as well. If you're playing, say, Tommy Muldoon, it's going to add your beat cop, you know, to your will, you know, to your willpower with this. And I think that alone makes it, like, really nice. These are, like, the 2 good stats. They're just like the ones on physical training from the core set. And that card's pretty good, and this boosts the same 2 stats. Also, this thing definitely gets a rating upgrade because of the art. I mean, look at this thing. This guy was, like, on vacation somewhere. He's drinking his, like, you know, Mai Tai out of a coconut. Like, he's living the good life. He looks like he's sitting on a sun lounger there, and then, like, something happened, and he had to kick over a table, and now he's, like, in a gunfight. Like, man, this, I want to play this scenario that this guy is in right now. That looks pretty cool.
I think another investigator who really likes this is Silas. Like, man, oh man, 4 willpower skill icons, possibly more, that you can commit to a skill test and then pull back to your hand if it doesn't work out. So you can commit it. Say you somehow end up in that situation where you take a rotting remains test, you commit this for 4 or 5 willpower skill icons, you draw the auto fail, you pull this back to your hand, and then commit it to the following combat skill test as basically 2 combat skill icons or to a future willpower test. Man, that's pretty nice.
I like this card a lot.
How would you rate this one, Nate?
This one gets a solid +1 for me. I was almost debating on an Elder Sign, but I think at 1 XP it's like +1 territory.
I'd actually agree. This is pretty good. It takes a little work to get this up to like 4 and 4, which is when I think this thing gets like really nice. So I'd give this thing a +1 as well.
Yeah, I agree. This is a +1 for me. I think there are lots of investigators in the Survivor and off-class Survivors who can get a lot of value out of these skills. And man, there hasn't been really a bad skill in the bunch as far as this particular style of skill goes. They've been very strong all throughout this set.
I think the designers have gotten much better at making skill cards. I think before they were very hesitant to give you even like 3 icons on a skill card, but now they're just chucking skill icons on cards. And, you know, I don't think that really affects the power level of them so much because they're one and done most of the time. And, you know, they're not drawing you cards. So, you know, they're not replacing themselves. So you kind of have to like have a decent amount of card draw for skills to be good.
That's going to do it for part 2 of our look at the Survivor cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. Do you agree or disagree? Let us know in the comments down below. Any final thoughts on these this batch of cards?
I feel like it's pretty clear the designers want you to play skill cards because the skill cards are good.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, we didn't get a bad card of the bunch here. We didn't get any like Elder Signs, but Survivors are doing pretty well, getting a decent pool.
Yeah, the thing I like about the Survivors, the Survivor card pool in general, is that a lot of the cards, they're not particularly flashy. They don't have crazy, outrageous effects a lot of the time, like we've seen on some of the other cards, especially like Rogue and Mystic stand out to me, like really kind of difficult to wrap your head around a lot of the time or require a little more thought. A lot of these cards are pretty straightforward. It's just like, Am I attacked? I get a charge that I can spend on other skill tests. Here's a skill that gives me a lot of icons. I'll just commit it to a skill test. They're very straightforward. You know, burn after reading. This gives me two clues and may remove a doom. Very straightforward. So I do appreciate that about the Survivor card pool. I think when the designers try to get really tricksy, the odds that that card will land with a thud rather than a hooray increases. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.